Embrace the mess, embrace Oscar. Yes. Well, we do know that it is Oscar who is like shot. We don't know dead, but we do know that he was shot.
Yes.
At the beginning of, because he's tie guy. He's tie dye guy.
I feel like we kind of cheated when we found that out, but I mean.
How did we cheat? We just went back and looked at episode
one. We went
one.
Back. We were looking for something else, and then we were like, oh my gosh, the dead guy is wearing tie dye.
But I have to admit, I said that after episode one.
You did?
I did. I didn't say it was tie-dye guy because I didn't see that he was wearing a tie-dye sweatshirt. But I did say that the guy that was like the guy who was coming back was some kind of informant or some kind of who was also involved in it but was coming back to give her more information, and that's why he was shot. I did say that.
Okay.
And I am sure that if I am wrong, someone at some point on the internet will find out and tell me. That's just how the internet seems to work.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but I will take your word for it, and that's fine.
That's what you should do. That you should take my word for it. You should also take my word for it that, hello and welcome. This is another Clue Done at Only Murders in the Building little podcast
here.
Little mini episode. We are doing
season five, season one, rewatch of Twist.
Twist, dun dun dun, which of course, five episodes into a 10-episode season, perfect time for a twist. Everything right in the middle. Throw everything up in
Jinx,
there, what you thought.
You,
fair enough. Oh, well, that means I can't talk, so it's all you.
What? What do you mean? That's what that means? Jinx, you owe me a Coke? It means you have to not say anything? For how long? Oh my gosh. Go outside and spin around three times and don't say, like, the Scottish play or something. What is going on? You can't do this on a podcast. I didn't know. What are you doing? Are you holding your breath? You don't owe me a Coke anymore.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that. I'll take that. I'm Jinx. Fair enough. Like the Jinx, that's the Jinx. You're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to speak until someone says you can speak again. Well, now you remember.
That was not part of my play yard rules.
No, it was horrible for a podcast. Yes, I admit it. I was like, gosh darn it. Well, go for it, Hurd. This is all you now. It's the Jessica Hurd Only Murders in the Building podcast.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Jeez.
No, it wasn't. You weren't interrupting. This is just the lovely banter that people have come to know and love from our podcast.
All right. What were you saying?
I don't know that I was saying anything. What is the name of it? It's Twist. Right in the middle is what we were talking about.
Yes.
So, yes. We have a twist right in the middle of everything. In this case, the big twist I think that we're supposed to take out of all of this is that, well, there's a couple twists. There are a few twists in this episode. One, that Oscar, the tie-dye guy who was following Mabel at the end of the last episode is actually Oscar. Oscar is back from prison, has been searching out Mabel, and Oscar is like the unifying viewpoint of this episode.
Yeah.
Or at least our voiceover.
We hear his voiceover.
He is the voiceover of the beginning, and he thinks that Mabel is priceless.
Yes.
So he really has a, he really does, he still cares for her. Even though he wanted to go beat up Tim Kono.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? Instead of go find her?
Well, no,
that's true.
It's hilarious because Oscar is tailing Mabel, and then Charles and Oliver, like, learn that Mabel is, like, a suspect now, and so they start following them, but while Oscar is walking behind Mabel and talking about how priceless she is, he follows her into an alley, which... As we know from other podcasts, how many alleys are there in New York City, Jessica?
Exactly one.
Exactly one.
One whole alley.
In all of New York. Why? Because the buildings in Manhattan are right next to each other. There's no alleys. So anyways, they found the one alley in New York City, and Mabel is ready
Steve
for Oscar.
Martin, come on.
Come on. Anyways, and Mabel immediately jumps him, like lays a trap, jumps him, and is ready to like stab him with her knitting needle. And she realizes it's Oscar. So Oscar's back. So that's one twist.
Yeah.
Another twist is that Oliver owns a car.
Yes. Oh my gosh, a banana yellow Peugeot.
Peugeot, is it? It's a 540 or a 504.
Brought from LA.
Yes, from LA. Yeah.
After shooting some, I can't remember the video.
Yes. What was it?
Say he was directing.
It was a good line. It was like something absolutely inappropriate and ridiculous.
Yeah.
But from the 70s. And it is. The Peugeot 504, it was only sold in the 70s in the U.S. It's very rare. It's an adorable little car.
It is.
And it makes all kinds of noises. And it looks like it's been, like, garaged since the 70s and hardly ever driven.
Charles Hayden is like, wait, you have a car? Wait, you park your car here? Or you pay for parking?
Yes.
Here?
Another little thing that I want to say. So... Mabel and Oscar make friends right away, and Oscar's like, well, I'll take you to this jeweler that Mabel is going to. And she's like, great, you can drive. And then, so that's why Oliver and Charles need to get into the car to follow them. But while they're doing that, before they leave, the doorman comes up to Charles and says, hey, here's your hat. You dropped it. Now, we don't know when Charles dropped it. And maybe this was just something that the show was doing to, like, maybe it was something that, like, got edited out. But I think, because Charles says, oh, I was looking for that, or some words to that effect or something like that.
Yeah.
So just hold on to that memory, because that's going to come back.
There are lots of things in this episode that I was like, why are we doing this?
They're dropping.
Fun.
It's fun.
But why? Like, they're in a road trip, so I guess you sing songs because you're bored and you tell stories about yourself on a road trip.
If you're Steve Martin and Martin Short, you make up songs on funny songs on a road trip. Yes, that's just what you do.
Yeah. And then they get cut off, but not before they sing a song. But they start to, like, almost like boom, boom, but.
Yeah, then, Ariana Grande and Dua Lipa is like Steve Martin and Oliver. Yeah, Martin Short. Yes.
Bang, bang into my heart. You know. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Soggy bottom balls in Sag Harbor. They had a great run of making fun of Long Island.
Yeah. And then Martin's like, Martin Short says, oh, it's the next stop. You have to get off.
Yeah. So they end up in a gas station where Mabel and Oscar have stopped to pick up some supplies or something or other. But they're lucky that they stopped there because the car comes in steaming. Now, this is also interesting. We're going to get into a little bit
of a... Or is it smoking?
It's smoking. You're right. The car is smoking. Steve Martin thinks that it's a problem. Martin Short's like, it's fine. We'll be fine. Let's just put some diesel gas into it and be on our way. So, but while he says that, some guy randomly comes up to them and is just like, oh man, that looks bad. Pop up your hood and let me take a look at it. So because we're so used to, by the way, Martin Short's Oliver is like it's a bright yellow. Charles is like, it's a bright yellow car. How are we going to follow them? Like, we'll blend in by standing out, which is Oliver's like life philosophy to a T.
We will blend in by
standing
right.
out. In any event, so he doesn't think anything's wrong with the car. But Steve Martin and everybody else like watching, it's like clearly there was something wrong with this car that hasn't been driven in forever. But we don't know that there's anything wrong with the car. Martin Short, I mean, he's a bit of a, like, exaggerator, but he knows what he's talking about. Well, kind of.
He says it's never been driven in winter, for one thing. And then he says something to the guy about, do you have any salt water? Or
some brine. She needs to be brined. Yes.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous and, like, leads you to believe that this guy, his name, I think this guy's name is Vaughn. This guy's name is Vaughn or Lucian. I forget which. Vaughn or Lucian, they're cousins. We'll get into them in a little bit. But he says, pop your hood open and I'll take a look. And then as the Oscar and Mabel start to leave the gas station, Charles is just like, can you help us follow those people? And Lucian or Vaughn or whoever it is says, oh, yeah, I follow people all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, when they get into the car and they start following Oscar and Mabel again, because Mabel was going out to Jersey to see a jeweler, but then with Oscar in the car, they realize that the cryptic note she found doesn't mean a jeweler in Jersey. It means Mabel's cousin Gustavo, in Long Island. So they're going out there to figure out why Tim Kona was meeting with Mabel's cousin.
Yeah.
But so while they're driving out to Long Island, now Charles and Oliver are in the backseat of this random truck holding cactuses, and they find out that the people in the front seat are also podcasters.
Yes.
And they work with
Cinda.
Cinda, that's what it was. I knew it wasn't Candy. I knew it was, there was an A in there somewhere though. Cinda. So they work for the person who 15 months from now has this podcast or is investigating them. So my question is, they follow people all the time. Were they following Oliver and Chaz out to Long Island to begin with? Or did they just happen to be there? Like, there's some skullduggery that is, like, being danced around with right here. And, like, my spider sense is tingling.
And I wonder if we have actually seen that truck, like, on the road at some other points.
Oh, that's an interesting
yard
question.
Yard dog's car.
It's like a pickup truck or SUV or something.
Yeah, they're horticulture homies. Right?
Yes, that's the horticultural homies. Yes. They are not profiled. They're not premiered. They are spotlighted. I don't know.
Like, oh, yeah.
Featured. They're featured in Spotify and Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
And like, it's this funny because they're both, Oliver and Charles are trying to like pump themselves up like they are big deals, and they realize that these horticultural homies are the
real deal.
Have
60,000 subscribers.
So send a little our way. Thank you, please, and thank you.
Yeah.
In any event, the final twist in all of this is that Oscar was going to go see Tim Kono the night he was shot.
Yeah.
And he was going to see him to maybe rough him up a little bit, but not kill him. But he went up to the apartment, heard the gunshot, and then ran off.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's even more. Oh, and then the final twist is that they're like, wait a minute. No, not the final twist. Two more twists come up in the episode. One, that Gustavo Tavo knew that Tim Kono was trying to take down a black market jewelry dealer named Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what the heck? That makes no sense. And then the final twist, Mabel like reveals all of the jewelry that she found in Tim's apartment.
Yeah. And she was bringing it with her.
Yes.
I guess to the jeweler.
To the jeweler to see what was going on. Yeah. So that makes sense. But it's just like, there you go. Twists upon skullduggery, upon outrageousness, upon a great string of cracks about Long Island. Like they start making fun about like, I got crabs and men pass it. Or yeah, which leads to soggy bottom balls in Sag Harbor. Or saggy bottom balls in Sag Harbor.
Yeah.
Anyways, great stuff. Lots of
Syosset.
Yeah.
That got the clap in.
It was, I got syphilis in South Setauket, crabs in Massapequa, the clap in Amagasset, and then saggy bottom balls in Sag Harbor. So, yeah, it was a lovely episode. It was a lot of fun and quick. Like, these are, like, the people in this, like, this episode, only Murders in the Building knows the brief. Like, this is not a lot of people going out and, like, brooding near the sea. Like,
oh,
there are twists and jokes all the time on this.
Yes, yeah. So this is written by Tembi Banks. Great job, writer.
Yes, well
she's
done.
A writer-director. And yeah, she's really killed it. She's fantastic. It's really funny. And then also the production design also takes from the script. And going along with what you're saying, like not being like a slow Nordic brooder
mm-hmm.
kind of script, it's fast and quick, but it's bright and colorful. Like his Peugeot is
bright
lemon yellow. Charles stops for pretzels really fast, and they only have mustard and salt usually, except that Oliver knows of some other special topping that he can get.
He even knows the street and the pretzel vendor. He's like, is it Dante? Yeah, tell Dante I'll have my regular. And the Dante is just like, yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then when the jewelry is tossed out onto
all
the
gold,
table,
right onto
all
the
gold.
Green velvet of a
pool
table.
Green velvet pool table. And then we repeatedly see flashbacks of Oscar going up to Tim Kono's apartment. And all of the emergency lighting,
the red
emergency lighting
red, yeah.
is flashing in the hallways. And so we have this yellow, we have this red, we have this green, which is also the title treatment colors of the show. And it's just super colorful. Again, not Nordic broody.
Yeah. Not
funny.
Nordic broody at all. Funny.
And
it actually is a half hour comedy, not just the best half hour drama you've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. And about podcasts. Like about these
podcasts are serious, guys. Why are you making fun of podcasts?
It's so mean that we're they're making fun of us.
Yes, they are. As well they should. And now it's time to make fun of them.
Okay,
Jessica,
yes.
What are your guesses? Do your guesses change at all because of all this? We learned a lot of information, but we didn't gather a whole lot of new suspects.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we have some new suspects, but maybe on some different threads and storylines, right? We have Vaughn and Lucian and Cinda,
right,
who we've been suspecting. I do not have a new like murderer of Tim Kono, because I am still suspicious of Jan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe she might be the jeweler, the black market jeweler dealer on the side.
Yeah, whoever makes money as an orchestra, in an orchestra. This is not enough money.
Maybe if you work at the Met, maybe.
Sure, fine.
We know that from whatever that show was on Amazon. I can't remember.
Mozart in the Jungle.
Mozart in the Jungle. I keep wanting to call it the Wolf something or other. Yeah, Mozart in the Jungle.
The Wolf of Mozart in the Jungle.
Right.
The Wolf ate Mozart in the Jungle. About all the all the finance bros who gave money to the orchestra and expect to actually be able to like DJ during sets.
Oh my God, I want that show.
So that's your guess. You're sticking with Jan.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Jan. I'm still the son of Nathan Lane's character.
He's gonna pop up somehow.
I think he's gonna pop up somehow, and I think he might. I think he, in the end, he actually might be the murderer, like another young son.
Oh yeah, because they were making fun of Daddy's Little Helper, podcast they were making fun of,
episode.
which was the son, and they're like, yeah. Charles was just like, it was a horrible title. Gave everything away. Who's it going to be? So you think they're alluding to Nathan Lane's son.
Yeah, but then why wouldn't Nathan Lane's son just go right for Oliver?
Fair enough.
Like, why would he threaten him? He would just be like, but what would
you've ruined my dad's finances the last time.
Nathan Lane have against these kids and this, you know, the young blondie. Well,
if it's the son, it doesn't have to have it. Nathan Lane doesn't have to have anything on it. I mean, unless they're literally going for Daddy's Little Helper, which I don't think they would do.
I don't know. It's out there for me, though. But yeah, I'm going to say Jan. I'm just going to say Jan right now, basically.
Okay. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if, so remember that moment with the hat and the doorman being like, oh, yes. Here's your hat. I think somebody placed a tracker in Charles's hat. I think I think there's some kind of like tracker or bug or something in the hat. So I'm now I'm not sure if it was Cinda. Like maybe it's Cinda, which is how like Vaughn and Lucien found Charles and Oliver. But at first I was just like, nope, I bet it's the murderer. I bet the murderer is like putting a tracker in Steve Martin's hat to find out where he goes all the time. I will also say, like, part of like the emotional thread of this episode was Mabel and Oscar getting back together and rekindling their friendship, or their kind of like Tim Kono wasn't dating Mabel, was he? He was. Tim Kono and Mabel were a couple. And then Oscar and Zoe were a couple.
Yeah. Oscar was always complimenting Mabel.
And always flirting with Mabel. Yeah.
And so that Zoe was kind of jealous.
Yes. So yes, part of the emotional thread about all of this was like, yes, Mabel and Oscar like renewing their emotional connection and getting closer to each other. And like Oscar, them trying to convince each other that they could be trustworthy, and that Oscar did. Mm. Oscar, who, by the way, now that he's out of prison, wants to start a trap yoga studio,
right. Which
sounds like fun, but maybe I don't know that those rhythms kind of go together, like trap house music and
yoga. I mean, it's a thing. You looked it up on the internet.
I know.
I agree with you. I was like, really? Does that go together?
In any event, but part of it is like them reconnecting and that, and like whether or not, because like Oscar wants Mabel to like just drop this and move on because he wants to move on and she can't. So he drives off at one point and you think it's done, but he comes back. So that's like that connection is there and nice and growing throughout this episode. The other really nice emotional thread in this episode is Charles, I keep calling him Steve Martin, but Charles really can't believe that Mabel is now a suspect. Whereas Oliver is just like, oh my God, of course she's a suspect.
Yeah, and he Oliver hasn't trusted like, her for...
from the jump.
Yeah, yeah.
And Charles desperately wants to have like a family and a daughter and like just someone that he can just like love on.
Yeah.
And so like watching him like be a little tortured and a little nervous about all this and like confront her. And even when he confronts her though, he's not really like accusing her. It really is just more like, tell me like... please, yes, I didn't trust you, but please give me a reason to trust you. And that was just, I don't know, I thought it was incredibly sweet. It was very nice. And the stakes were real. Like, yes. The stakes weren't like, is someone going to die this episode? But the stakes really were. For Charles, it was near life and death. Like, can he, like, he's been opening up to these people.
Yes.
And it's like, can he really still open up to these people and have this emotional connection and have an emotional life with other people? So that was very sweet and very nice. So
yes, yes, it was lovely.
Which is why it's going to be so horrible when he finds out that someone has been tracking him through his hat.
Or that Jan is the killer.
Well, yes, if Jan is the killer, it will be devastating for him. Which is great as far as TV is concerned, because it just means reset season two. He still can't trust anybody.
Yep.
So, all right. So, yeah. Making more sense. I have to point out that I am not, just because you have guessed Jan doesn't mean that I can't come back around to Jan, because we all know that I guessed Jan first.
You did?
I did. Like, I guessed Jan the episode before you guessed Jan. So, oh. I have my, right now, my guess is on whoever planted that tracker.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, I might come back to Jan. I don't know.
Well, I might not go Fair for enough. Jan.
You might go back to killer whales.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Or a cheesemonger. That we haven't met yet.
We've met a deli man and his dips. We've met a pretzel. I'm telling you, like, we're getting close to a cheesemonger.
I think we are. We're closing in.
We're closing in on the cheesemonger.
Yeah, because, I mean, we already discussed how people, real estate in New York, like New Yorkers and real estate, you know, people would mm-hmm. kill for that. And I'm like, yeah, and New Yorkers and their cheese.
They would kill for cheese.
Yeah.
So until next time.
We'll leave you guessing.